Yeah. So I'm actually going to start, even if the recording doesn't start, because I have a couple questions I want to ask. So how many of y'all consider yourself SharePoint developers currently? So I'm looking at about, wow, good percentage, probably 80%, I'm going to guess. How many folks are just are web developers, not SharePoint developers? So a number of you do both. If you don't do one or the other, feel free to stay. This is a talk that, really, because we can introduce you to the SharePoint app model, and there's probably a fair amount of stuff that you can learn, and even if you're not a hardcore developer, you may be turning into a developer, you never know. So are we good to go back there? All right. So I will actually start officially now. Here's our slide. So today we're going to talk about developing apps for SharePoint 2013 using Visual Studio 2013, the preview that was just announced today. My name is Mike Morton. I'm a senior program manager. I work on the Visual Studio team. Primarily, the team I'm on works on, obviously, the SharePoint and Office development tools. We also, and I specifically, work on Napa, if you've heard. Anybody heard of Napa? It's our browser-based IDE. Okay, I work on that also. So feel free to give me feedback now or later or whenever about either one. So I work on both those tools. Today, we're going to talk about the app model. There's a new SharePoint app model. In fact, how many folks have created a SharePoint app? So I'm going to go with maybe almost half. Okay, does anybody have one in the store? That would be awesome. Anybody have an app in the store? Oh, okay. Take that car away. I'm just kidding. Okay, so we are going to talk about the app model. I'm going to do a fairly quick overview because a lot of you have built an app. And there was also a great 0 to 60 session that Keenan did this morning. Did many people go to the 0 to 60 session? That's great. So I am going to go pretty quickly through the app model. I won't bore you with that. I'll then get right into the Visual Studio tools. We're going to build a couple of real simple apps. And then we'll go in and we'll talk about the cloud-based apps because there's a lot of interesting information there. And y'all might have questions about that. So hopefully I can provide some insight into cloud-hosted apps. Okay, so with that, let's just jump right in. The app model, the new SharePoint app model. First, I want to talk about the different app shapes. So these are how your users are going to see your apps when you build them. You have the full page app. That's when your app is launched. You're going to have that full page, whether it's a SharePoint hosted app, and we'll talk about this in a minute, or a cloud hosted app. The UI, the Chrome, may look a little different, but you have the full control of that page to do whatever you want to do. The next shape, which I find these are really cool, client web parts. Excuse me. You'll see in parentheses app part. App part is what your users are going to know these as, but from the developer standpoint, you're going to see all your documentation and the tooling call them client web parts. Client web parts are great. You can see I have one circled here for a little clock and weather app. They're great because they give you an entry point into your app, and they also allow you to shine interesting information from your app onto this client web part, and the end user can put that client web part on any page they want on the host web. And we'll talk about a few of these terminologies, these host webs and app webs, and I'll cover this here in a minute. The user actually does that by using very similar to how they would insert a web part onto the page, but they use this new app part, and that's how the end user will put that app part on there. Again, kind of like a live tile, great for shining out information, and great for deep links into your application. And the last shape we have, we call these UI commands or UI custom commands. You'll hear a few different names. We have two different flavors of that. You can extend the ribbon, so the SharePoint ribbon. You can see that one that's circled up there. Or down below on the bottom right, you can extend the menu item, which if you've done SharePoint development for long, you may know that as the ECB. I didn't make that name up. That's just what it used to be called. This is like the modern version of the ECB. We call it the menu item typically. And you can extend either of those with your own customizations or commands that can then launch your app. And what's cool about these is they can pass in contextual information into your app. So those are our three app shapes. Real basic, the app model, really broken down to simplify it, especially for your web developers. So if you haven't done SharePoint development, and you are a web developer, you're going to build a web application made up of HTML, JavaScript, CSS, And then you're going to also include this manifest. And we have tooling to help you do this manifest, so don't worry. Together, that web application and that app manifest, that's what makes up a SharePoint app. So it's really pretty basic. Yes, if you've built SharePoint apps, you probably know there are some other things you can add to the app portion, kind of the right-hand box, lists and libraries and workflows. But it's in its most basic, it's a web app and an app manifest. Now, what makes that web application maybe a little unique is where you host it. You have a few choices. I guess I have to point at that. For hosting options, you can host. You can use the SharePoint hosted app. And in this case, when your app is deployed, you deploy your app always to a SharePoint a host web. So your end user goes to their website, whether it's their HR site or their payroll site or whatever it is, and they install your app. And when they do that, an app web is created. And so the host web is what we call the website that your app is installed on. The app web is kind of the container that your app runs in. It gives you an isolated environment where your app can run safely, protected from other apps that can't poke at it and stuff like that. That's the SharePoint hosted model. You have some limitations here. You cannot write server code. So you can write client-side code, JavaScript, HTML, and you can do declarative things like create lists and libraries, document libraries, workflows, BCS, and a number of other things. And you can also use declarative things like web parts and controls that are defined by SharePoint out of the box. So that's what you can do with a SharePoint hosted app. The other type of hosting is what we call cloud hosted apps. You have two flavors, auto-hosted and provider-hosted. They're really pretty similar. And here, in the SharePoint host web and the little green box behind, it's the same restraints or constraints that we just talked about, where you can have the declarative stuff, and you can have HTML and JavaScript. But now what you also get is you get a full-blown web application that you can, in the auto-hosting model, you can take advantage of a lot of infrastructure that the SharePoint folks have done. And it all goes into one package. Your web application, as well as your manifest, all gets put into one package. You hand it up to SharePoint. When it gets installed, they'll actually automatically provision that out to the Windows Azure websites. And they'll also provision your SharePoint app piece and wire those together. So it's really handy. On the provider-hosted side, you're responsible for provisioning that web application. Now you might ask, well, why do I want to do that if SharePoint will do it for me? Good question. I think one of the big things is provider-hosted can easily support a multi-tenant scenario where you install your back-end once, and then you deploy just the SharePoint app piece out to many tenants or many sites, and they can all share one back-end. You also have the flexibility, excuse me, whenever you want, you can update that provider-hosted web application. So that's a pretty big benefit. Every day or every week, you can go update that without having to push stuff up to the Office store or to your app catalog if it's an internal app. Does everyone know what I mean when I say app catalog? Does anybody not know? So the app catalog, okay, that's kind of like your corporate store that's only available to your company. So those are your different types of hosting options. We'll do some SharePoint apps, and I'll do some provider-hosted. Again, the code isn't really different between auto-hosted and provider-hosted. It can be when you get into some multi-tenancy options, but for what we're going to do here today, there's really no difference in the code. All right, forward. With that, the Microsoft Office Developer Tools. So as you know, Visual Studio 2013 preview was available today. Has anyone downloaded it? Come on, someone's downloaded it. Wow, over this really fast Wi-Fi you haven't downloaded it? All right. So hopefully folks go back to the hotels and download it. It's pretty cool. It supports our new Office tools, support the new cloud app model that I'm talking about here today. Some really great stuff. You can develop directly against Office 365 where there's no need to install SharePoint on your local machine at all, which if you're an old school SharePoint developer, that's got to be a pretty big deal. So we've made that really easy to get started. Visual Studio, Office 365 developer site, and you're ready to go. So hopefully you all appreciate that quite a bit. Normally Paul would clap there and the rest of you would clap with him, but whatever. You can also do on-premise development, of course. And actually, with the on-premise development, you can do both local, where everything's installed on your developer box, or you can install SharePoint on a remote server and have multiple developers share that one installation of SharePoint. So even if you're doing on-prem development, our tools made it a little easier because you can do that shared single SharePoint instance. And then, of course, we have rich tooling for the different artifacts. And actually, that kind of leads me into, let's go ahead and jump into the product and take a look at that. Awesome. So here we are, Visual Studio 2013. And I am doing, that's good. Just checking my time, sorry. So let's go ahead and just jump right in and create a new project. You'll see here that the new apps node is underneath the Office and SharePoint node, which is underneath the C-sharp and the VB node. I just point that out because we talk a lot about HTML and JavaScript, but because there's often times that after you've started an app, you actually are going to add a web app, and rather than have to ask you every time when you do that, it kind of we'll just create the right one depending on where you start. So if you're a C-sharp developer, every time you add a web app to one of your SharePoint apps, well, you're going to want a C-sharp app. So we go ahead and ask you here. So you'll also see there's the app for Office. That's a new app model there also. These two app models really are pretty much one. They're just this new cloud-hosted or this cloud app model. Today we're going to focus on the apps for SharePoint. And actually, let's just go right in and create an app. I'm going to create an app called Quick Tasks. It's one that I've demoed before that is a real simple app, but it gets the point across to how easy it is to start getting going with our tools. This Quick Tasks app, it's just going to be an application that we can collect tasks. It's like a to-do list, basically. Excuse me. So the first page here, you'll always specify a SharePoint site. Now, again, that can be an on-prem site, or hopefully, in all of the demos I do today, I'm going to go and work directly against Office 365. So I do not have SharePoint installed on this box. Everything's running on this little touch screen running Windows 8. Love it. Love Windows 8. Love touch, touch, touch. No, I'm not Steve Ballmer. Can we rewind that just a bit? I do work for Microsoft. I love Steve Ballmer. So that kind of got me distracted. So we're going to build Quick Tasks. So you specify your URL. Sorry about that. You specify the URL of your dev site. Again, you can go out to the dev.office.com and you can get yourself a dev site for free. So you can get started for free. You can get preview. And you can be up and running in just a matter of minutes. We've changed this dialog a little bit. This used to be a drop-down. You'll see now that you can choose provider-hosted or auto-hosted. We're going to stick with SharePoint-hosted for this first application. I'll go ahead and click Finish and create that. Before I talk about this default page that you're staring at, if you're a SharePoint developer, you're going to feel right at home. You're going to see this Features node and this Packages node, and you're going to be like, oh, I know what that is. If you're not a SharePoint developer, just ignore those two nodes. Because for a long time while you build apps, you don't need to worry about those nodes. Yeah, if you get into some advanced apps, you may need to go in there and dabble with a little SharePoint-isms. But we've made it really easy for you to get started with apps for SharePoint. And the tools just think like a web developer. You got content, you got HTML, you got JavaScript. If you're doing a SharePoint or a cloud-hosted app, you'll have server code and stuff like that. We really want you to leverage your web technologies and knowledge. Use the JavaScript libraries you want, all of that kind of stuff. You'll be familiar here. We have a content node with a CSS. We have images, we have scripts, so this should feel really comfortable to both SharePoint developers as well as web developers. Let's actually just go right in here, and let's add a new item. I just wanted to point out, so here's the add new item. These are the different app artifacts that we support. The tools support pretty much the full breadth of the different types of artifacts. Probably some of the most common ones are lists, remote event receivers. I talked about these custom actions as well as the client web part. And we'll go through most of those today in the demos. And then the last one there, app for Office. You can actually build an app for Office and put that into an app for SharePoint, and that can get deployed together. And that can be a really powerful solution, especially if you have a document library. And you can set that app for Office document as the default document. So there's a lot of possibilities there. There's probably some sessions later on this week that talk on that more. I'm going to go ahead and create a list. And we'll just stick with our quick tasks. We'll create a quick task list. Our list designer wizard will go up and do a little communication with SharePoint. This will walk you through creating that list. If you just want an instance of an existing list, and if you're a SharePoint person, you know exactly what I mean, you can choose one of these and start from there. But if you want to control what that list is made up of, the metadata or the schema, the fields in that list, you're going to want to choose this. And then if you start with a custom list, it's like a blank list, and you just plug in the different properties or fields that you want on that list. I'm going to start from a task list because it's got a lot of the stuff I want. But because I chose that top radio button, I can go in and I can customize it now. And here's a list designer. For folks that have done created lists or document libraries, the old way where you had to like go grok through hundreds of lines of schema XML, I know you will appreciate this list designer. It makes it a lot easier. If I want to delete a column, I can just come here and hit the delete button. I can come here, I can hit the delete button. This is so easy and fun that I just want to delete a lot of columns. I can also add new columns. I can add from existing columns that already exist on my host web, because we've gone up and we've looked at the host web to see what the columns are. And I can choose one of those. And as you start typing, you'll see that we start doing some filtering down of the different columns. Or I can just create a new one. And this is a brand new. We'll do a stack rank. Maybe I want a blanket stack rank where I can stack rank my tasks, not just a priority. I don't know if I have any code that uses it. There we go. Thank you, whoever pointed that out. I wish I had two cars. You then can choose the type of field. In this case, I'm going to choose number. Based on the type you choose, you'll actually see over here in the properties windows. The property window has a number of additional customizations that you can do to that property. So like for a number, I could set a min and a max value and things like that. So it was that easy to create a list. So I have my list. I'm going to go back to my page. You'll see that this is an ASP.NET page. It's a server page. But hey, wait a minute, Mike. Like 8 minutes ago, you said I can't do server code. Well, you can't write server code. We do use server pages, but you can't actually put code in them. The reason for that is we want you to be able to leverage some of the SharePoint controls and web parts that can really make your life easier, especially if you're building a SharePoint hosted app. And so we'll do that. We can come down here, and you'll see we have a little built-in or a little starter code. We'll leave that. And all I'm going to do is come here. We have a couple of snippets that we have. If you right-click and say Insert Snippet, we have a SharePoint node. And I'm going to pick the SharePoint list view. Let me zoom in a little bit on that, but I didn't highlight it very well. Let me do that insert again, SharePoint, and list view. So we'll choose that. And what we get is this, we get this SharePoint web part that's out of the box that we can leverage. Because remember, we can have declarative artifacts. This is a declarative artifact. It's not a new code artifact that we're writing or creating. And all I have to do is plug in that list URL. And if I don't know it, I can jump over here to the list designer and just grab it. And then come over here and paste it in. We'll paste it in right there. So there we go. And at this point, I know I need one more image. Let me add this image just to make this look good. Where did I put that? My SkyDrive? No, desktop. There we go. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and press F5. And what we're going to do is we're going to package up this app. There is a new packaging format for apps, which is a little friendlier. We do still use WSPs, if you're familiar with that, but then we put that into a bigger XML file and kind of basically zip it up. So what we're doing right now is if we were to view the output window, you can see that we're installing that app. So we've packaged it up, we've uploaded it, and now we're installing it. I would say typically I see this taking 5 or 10 seconds, so the fact that it's taking longer, thank you, demo goodness. So we'll install that app and then we'll launch that app. So here's that default ASPX page that I created. And you'll see by using that web part, I got all of this goodness for free. This is a very typical SharePoint UI that your users would be used to. You can also see this was that built-in code that ran that went out and got my username. So now I can come here, I can add a new item. I get all the built-in form support, maybe send status report, something like that. And I can save that item. And that easily we've created an app. It's just we didn't really have to write code. We added a list. We added a snippet. We hit F5. We have an app. We're ready to go. But that's kind of the SharePoint UI way. Since we have a lot of web developers in the audience, and it's kind of, you know, HTML and JavaScript is totally the language of choice right now for a lot of folks, let's kind of do it that way instead. I'm going to delete that web part. In fact, I'm going to delete the whole page of format there. Let's go like this. And I have another page that I'm going to drag in. Very similar. You'll see I have some different script tags here. I'm bringing in jQuery UI. And I'm also bringing in Knockout to do a little data binding there. And down below, you'll see I have my div, a little different format. Using Knockout there, we'll do some data binding. Let's then go over to our app.js file. Here was that default implementation we gave you that went and got the username. We did this just so you could see how this client context works. And then you can make a call to get the user. And then we just pulled out the user's name there. We don't need that anymore. Let's get rid of that. We'll bring in this instead. This is going to go out to our quick task lists. And it's going to build up a view model and then use Knockout to bind that to our HTML that we added. So I'm just kind of using my HTML, my JavaScript knowledge, my favorite JavaScript libraries. And the last thing I need here, I think, is, yes, a little CSS. We'll add that. We'll press F5. We'll deploy this app. Now, what's cool there is all I updated was the HTML, JavaScript, and the CSS file. So I didn't have to go redeploy the full app. Our tools actually went up and just poked the new files into SharePoint directly so that you could get a much quicker iterative development experience. So that's a pretty handy thing that I think you'll appreciate when you hit F5, you know, probably 50 times a day. Thank you. Let's put in a send trip report. I always forget to do that, so we'll add another task. And then something else. So we'll just add some tasks just to see how that works. So a much more modern UI, maybe not super great from a UX standpoint. That's not what they actually pay me for, so this is about as good as it gets when I do design of screens. But because of the nice JavaScript libraries I use, such as jQuery UI, I can go like this, and I can adjust these tasks. And if I had written the code, that could go and set the stack rank, and I could sort by stack rank. So just showing you how you can easily use your HTML and web knowledge to build these. Before we end this demo, I actually want to jump back to the host web. So remember, the host web is the website that your user installs your app to, or in this case, Visual Studio installed it because you gave me the URL when we created the project. So the way a user interacts with your apps is the most basic way is they can go here to the site contents, and this shows them, I'll make that a tad smaller, this shows them all of the apps that are installed on their site, whether Visual Studio installed them or they installed them from the marketplace or from their app catalog, they all show up here. And you'll see there's our Quick Tasks app. I can click on that, and that launches my Quick Task app, just like I showed. I just wanted to show you that because we've been kind of doing it magically with Visual Studio. So that's how that works. All right, so I think we'll switch back to slides for a few minutes. I promise, just a few. We talked about that. We did that. That manifest, I actually didn't show you that. Rather than talk about it, I am actually going to just flip back. That app manifest I told you about, it's we have a nice designer right over the top of it. So this is your app manifest designer where you can set your title and your name, your start page, so on and so forth. You remember that hosting type we chose? If you want, you can change that after the fact, so don't fear, you're not stuck with one. Once you choose it, you can switch it. There might be some code refactoring, or likely will be code refactoring you need to do. I'm not trying to say it's magic, but you're not stuck, so don't fear that. Permissions. Apps use OAuth, and we'll talk about this more. So your app needs to establish, hey, here's the permissions I want, so that when your app's installed, the user that installed your app's actually going to get prompted, and they'll have to say yes to those permissions. I bet more than half of you use Facebook, probably 95% of you. You've installed an app that's asked for OAuth permissions or some other app, I'm sure. Same idea there. Prereqs. There may be a SharePoint feature, for example, that you need installed for your app to work. And if you have leveraged that, then you can put that feature in here, and SharePoint will make sure that is installed before your app is allowed to be installed. Locales. We support creating localized apps, of course. Here's where you can specify those locales. And then remote endpoints. This is for the case where your client-side code needs to make a cross-domain call, typically you'd be blocked. If it wasn't like a JSONP type feed, you might get blocked because it's cross-domain. SharePoint actually allows you to use their proxy. They kind of have a web proxy. And by specifying the URLs here that you're going to call out to, they can kind of say, okay, that was one of the URLs that the developer expected. So this kind of keeps you a little more secure there with those cross-domain things. So sorry, I didn't mean to jump back and forth there, but it's more fun to show you the product than the slide. And with that, I can skip that slide. Lists and content types, document libraries. I showed you this designer, so I won't go through it again. But it's not just the lists. You can create those document libraries and set properties, as well as content types, which are a much more advanced topic. As you get into SharePoint development, you'll learn more about those content types if you need to. Client web parts, touched on that. Actually, I'm going to create one of those in just a minute. But those client web parts are great for shining through that data, as well as giving additional launch points, not only to launch to your default page, but you could easily code up deep links from your client web part. So we'll actually create one of those in just a moment. Excuse me. UI custom actions. We talked about these a little bit. These are your ribbon custom actions or your menu item custom actions. These actually apply to the host web or the app web. You'll see we actually have a choice there. If you want your custom action to appear maybe, and I'll do a sample if I have time, on maybe all the document libraries in the host web, I would choose host web and I'd come down here pretty much like what this screen shows. But if you just needed a ribbon customization that appeared just in your app web, maybe you have some lists in your app web and you want to create a custom list item, you could choose app web and then this custom action would be scoped just to your app web. Hopefully that makes sense. And then workflows, we got them. We got great end-to-end tooling. Here's a designer. I'm showing you a designer with the different workflow tasks that you can drag and drop. We've done a lot of work with our workflow designer to really make it easy to choose the right list. I don't know if that's a sign that those lights went out over there, but I'll talk to this side of the room now. We got a great workflow designer. We've got different kinds of templates. You can debug workflows graphically by stepping through. So we have a great workflow experience, but it's a lot to learn, so I'm not going to touch on that today. I'm specifically going to call that out. It would need a whole session on its own to do it justice, to be honest. There are some good articles and videos up on Channel 9 that could help you with that if you need or when you need. And then BCS, or Business Connectivity Service. This is great when you want to bring in some external data that's out there somewhere as an OData feed, and you want to bring it in and make it look like a SharePoint list or use it like a SharePoint list. We have a wizard and a designer that makes that really easy. It looks very much like our list designer on purpose because you're connecting to that external data, but you really just want to shine it through as a list in SharePoint and use it in your code like a SharePoint list, and you can do exactly that with your OData services. And those are app-scoped BCS or external content types. And with that, I will jump back. Let's see how we're doing time-wise so I know how many demos I can do. We're doing pretty good. Okay, so let's just continue on, actually, with this same app. So we have our Quick Tasks app. Let's add a web part. Go here, and we'll say New Item. And we'll add one of those client web parts. I really think this is one of my favorite artifacts, just because I don't know. How many people are Windows Phone developers? Okay, that didn't work the way I expected it to. So coming out of here, most of you are going to go write Windows Phone apps and Windows apps, and so the live tile concept, it's really cool. I have a Windows Phone, and I love it, and I really do, and I switched from another phone, we won't say. I've already got myself in enough trouble, and it's recorded. But I really think these client web parts they're really cool. They really are, so I really suggest that you look at these to make your app shine. And you'll see here, let's just create one rather than have Mike talk about it. Let's create, we'll do quick part. Kind of start, keep with that quick theme. And here's a wizard we have. And you can have us create a default kind of empty-ish page for you with just kind of a framework around. Or if you already have a page that you want to use. And this is especially possible or more likely when you're building a cloud-hosted app, and you already have a page that renders this iframe that's so big, and it's like, that's the exact content I want to shine through into my client web part. Well, you could point at that page and reuse that for the most part. Maybe not exactly, but it'd be a great starting point for you. We're going to go ahead and create a new page. We'll click Finish, and here's that page we get. I'm going to go through this fairly quickly so we can look at both this and the menu item. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to blow away what we do by default, and I'm going to stick with kind of my default setup of using jQuery UI and Knockout. I actually don't know that I use Knockout in this portion of the demo, but we'll update the scripts. You'll also see that I'm switching from using like certain files like jQuery from being local in my project. I'm switching it out, and you'll see that I'm grabbing those off of the CDN. So that's another best practice thing to do in many cases for performance. Not in all cases. If you don't have access to the CDN internet, obviously that wouldn't be something you'd want to do. And with that new page we have, that web part, we're going to need a new script file. So let's do that. And let's pick a JavaScript file, and we'll call that Quick Tasks. I think that's what I called it. Right. Yeah, Quick Tasks. So we have a new JavaScript file. You don't want to watch me type. I'm an OK developer, but I'm a horrible typist, so I'll go ahead and copy that in. This is gonna go out, and it's gonna get the count of active tasks, and then just show that number of active tasks on our quick part. What I also need to do is go back here. We need a spot in the body of this page to actually put. So you'll see here that I just go ahead and create a div and give it an ID. And if we look back in this JavaScript towards the end, we'll actually go grab that task count and update it with you currently have X number of tasks. So if all goes well, we'll press F5. Now in this case, you'll see that I'm retracting right there. If you look, I'm retracting the previous app. So this is going to take a little longer, because first we have to retract it, and then we can install the new one. The reason for that is I didn't just update the content of my web files. I actually added a new part. So we have some XML changes, and my manifest file changed. So just FYI, some F5s take a little longer. But typically, you'll define your project or your app, and you'll get all the right files created. And then you'll just iterate on the UI or the page logic. And your next F5 will go a lot faster. So you'll really see a performance gain as you get going. Let's just add a few tasks really quick. We'll add some tasks. Again, they were nice and easy to add, and we get that jQuery, blah, blah, blah. But what we have now is we have a client web part, or to what our end users will know them as an app part. So if we go up here, I'm going to make that tad bigger. If we go up here to page, and I edit the page, so I kind of put the page into edit mode. This is a standard SharePoint thing if you have never used SharePoint. There might be some folks out there. And you go insert, you go to the new app part menu, and in there you'll find there's our quick part. I could have gave that a nicer title. I could have went into the XML file and gave it a nice, or the properties and gave it a nice title. All I need to do now is just click add, and that quick part or that client web part is going to be added, and you see the code actually ran. Let me save the page, get it out of edit mode. It's a little friendlier looking. And you'll see that our code runs, and we quickly say, hey, I have three new tasks. Now, if I wasn't graphically challenged, that'd be some cool graph with colors and numbers or something like that. But that's a pretty cool looking graph to me, actually. So I also mentioned, so we shine some interesting data out. That can really be powerful. In addition, though, I talked about it being a great launch point. Because remember, typically, to launch my app, if you don't do an app part, is you have to click on site contents, you have to find the app, and there could be a bunch of items here. So creating an app part yet again is a huge benefit, because now by default, even if I don't add deep links into my UI area, I get this title here, which is there by default. Again, we could have gave that a much better name. And I think the users can actually adjust that to say whatever they want. But they can click on that and launch your app. And that's really nice, because they can put your app part on any page, and then you get an automatic free launcher into your app. So bottom line, I suggest use client web parts. because your users are going to love it. Your app's going to be easier to use, and it's going to shine really cool data out, and it's going to look really graphically awesome like mine. Any questions on app parts? Okay, I had a feeling we might. Got to be really quick, though. I have like 1 minute.
Is there any place to replace that icon that's in there with your app part?
With which icon are you talking about?
The app.
Yes, we give you a default one by default. That sounded kind of duplicate. But yes, you can replace the icon.
No, I can replace the icon with the actual live.
You own everything in here. So I'm not sure I'm getting grok in your question. So I'm going to say if I'm not answering it here, you own that. You can put whatever you want in that iframe, basically. If that doesn't answer it, why don't we talk afterwards? Because I might not be getting your question. Sorry. One more question, so then I'm going to move on.
Is this on?
I think so, yeah.
So is it possible to create multiple web parts from one application and build more complex experiences?
Absolutely. You don't get connected web parts. These aren't ASP.NET web parts. So you don't get that connected web part experience for free. But yes, one app can have multiple app parts, and they can look radically different. Great question. I'll be here afterwards. I'll be at the booth tomorrow, so we can go through more questions. I just had a feeling there might be one or two there questions around those. Okay, really quick. Well, I don't have time for that demo. I was going to show you a menu item, but I don't have time to show you that. But imagine I went and added a menu item extension. Where that would show up would be, if I did a menu item one, it'd be right here on your part, and I apologize, if it was on a document library, for example, it'd be right here, and then when the user clicked this ellipse, this is kind of like the old ECB, down there at the bottom, or you can actually place it where you want, by default it'd be at the bottom, you would have your custom menu item right there. It would launch your app, and you can actually pass in the context of what item is selected, what the list is, what the item is, and then you can go do interesting stuff. Like the demo I had for you, I'd actually add the list URL to the task list, and say, hey, don't forget to read this document with the URL. So that's pretty cool what you can do with the menu items. Very similar stuff that you can extend these ribbon controls up here also. So that's what those UI custom actions would allow you to do. Okay. I'm going to flip back to slides. And that kind of wraps up our SharePoint-hosted apps. So everything I've done so far has all been SharePoint-hosted app. We've done some HTML, JavaScript, CSS. We've created lists. What else did we do? We used a web part. So all of that declarative or client-side stuff, that's what you can do in a SharePoint app. Now remember, you do have workflows, and workflows are considered declarative, but workflows are really powerful. So if you need to do some long-running task stuff, you can actually create custom activities that call out to external services, and all that's considered declarative. So workflows can be your friend when you're using a SharePoint-hosted app, but you need to get a little more adventurous, we'll say. Let's talk about cloud-hosted apps now, though. This is where you have a web project or a web application. So just a reminder, this is that same picture from before. Specifically, we'll talk about provider-hosted apps, but again, provider-hosted and auto-hosted, a lot of similarities. One thing to talk about, I mentioned they use OAuth. So we need a way for our web application that's running not on the SharePoint servers to talk back to SharePoint to be able to access lists or libraries or other services like search or social. Maybe you want to write to the social feed or use the profile to get at an organization's profile about their users and groups. So there's got to be a way to talk securely back to SharePoint. Well, the way we do that is we use OAuth, OAuth 2.0 to be specific, and the SharePoint server and the web application get into kind of like a three-legged trust relationship with ACS, or the Windows Azure Access Control Services, which is the STS is too much nerdiness, I think. Now that I think about it, it's a secure token server. Okay, so anyways, we get into this relationship where SharePoint knows my client ID. That's my user ID of my app. My web app knows the client ID, of course, but also knows the client secret. Think of that as your password, your app password. ACS knows about both of those. They're kind of like the third-party trusted guy. SharePoint talks to ACS, says, here's the client ID. Hey, I need this thing that's called a context token. It gets a context token. It passes over to my app. I do some magic API calls along with the context token. I pass in the client ID in secret. ACS comes back, gives me an access token. And now with that access token, I can create a client ID or client context, and talk back to SharePoint. So that's how it works in a nutshell. If you have more questions, I would suggest you watch Kirk Evans. Had a great session that dives deep into this. He had that this morning, so it's recorded and should be up there in a day or two, I heard, that they're going to be available pretty quickly. So I'd really suggest, if you want to go deeper, that's a great talk. How do you create a cloud-hosted app? There's actually four ways. I just found out this morning in getting ready for my demos. I forgot about the new one. But the new Project Wizard, when you choose auto-hosted or provider-hosted, we're going to create a cloud-hosted app that has a web application for you. If you have a SharePoint app and you add an event, and we're going to do that, we're going to add an event receiver, that will create the web application for you and wire them up. Or you can take any existing web application, whether it's ASP.NET Forms or MVC, and on the menu, on the project menu, you'll actually see there's this add app for SharePoint. And we'll kind of do the reverse. You have the web application. We'll actually add a SharePoint app and wire those together so that you can basically shine your existing web application out as a SharePoint app. And with very little changes, you could actually publish that SharePoint app, which is really just a manifest and an icon now. And people say, oh, I want to install that. And all they do is they click and it launches your existing web application, which is out on Azure, of course, which is a great host. But it can be hosted wherever you want it to be. So you can really easy get into the SharePoint app world. Now, don't stop there, though, because there's a lot of great services that can make your app really sticky. Great SharePoint and Office 365 services like search and social and things like that. So you can start with a web application that you have, extend it to SharePoint, and then you can start using some of the SharePoint goodness. So just FYI, you can go about that from either direction. Event receivers, I've touched on that a couple times. There's events that happen at the SharePoint that you want to know about in your code. Now, I saved this till now because you can only have these with cloud-hosted apps because this needs to be server code. So when SharePoint does certain event, there's three app events. When the app's installed or upgraded or just before it's uninstalled, you can ask for an event to be called into your server code, and you can do something like initialization or cleanup or upgrade the schema that you have in a database or something like that. There's also a bunch of what we call remote event receivers that are on both the list and the list items. Typically, when a list is a new item is added or deleted or checked in or something like that, you want to get an event and you want to do some processing using your server code over in your web app. That's what these are for. Really powerful. It does require the cloud-hosted app model where you have a web app, which that's the section we're talking about here. So we'll actually look at one of these. Well, if you think about it, we're doing Office 365 development. That invoking that web that event receiver, it's kind of tricky because when I hit F5, we actually spin up IIS Express on your local dev box right here on my silver little touch screen, and the app is actually running up, in my case, up in Office 365. Well, we know there's at least one, if not five, firewalls between O365 and my machine sitting here in the Moscone Center. Well, what we do is we actually open up a channel using Windows Azure Service Bus. The tools take care of almost all of this for you. All you have to do is give us a Service Bus connection string. And then we'll wire everything up. We'll tell SharePoint about it. And that event is going to fire. And if all goes well, we'll be able to debug that on like my local machine. So it's pretty darn cool. Yep. So we will demo that. Thank you. We'll demo that in just a second. Did I have another? Yes. So let's go ahead and go demo that right now. Switch into 5. Awesome. Let's go ahead and close this solution. We're done with quick tasks. And let's create a new project. We'll name it whatever here to start with. We're going to go here. I have my other choices, so we've been in the SharePoint hosted land. Let's go back and let's do a provider hosted app now. I'm going to click next. If you just click finish here, you're going to get some defaults that are on the next page or two of the wizard. And they're good defaults, and some of them we remember, so if you chose them before, we'll just give you that. But if you click next, you'll see a new page in our wizard. This is new for preview. Yes, we had a feeling you would feel that way. For those of you that weren't clapping, previously you didn't have a choice here, and we would stick you into the ASP.NET web forms. Now you get a choice between MVC and web forms, so it's really nice. We all love it. You can thank Chox. He's a PM on our team. He drove that feature. You can thank him for that if you see him. So we'll go ahead and choose MVC. Oh. If you're doing, I'm not going to cover this, if you're doing on-prem, there's this thing called high trust or server-to-server apps. You'll need to use this third page of the wizard. We're not doing that. We're staying in Office 365 land where we're using ACS for our authentication. And authorization. So I'm just going to click finish and skip that third page. The default's ACS because, trust me, it's so much easier to just build directly against Office 365. But sometimes you have to build on-prem. Totally get it. And you need to use that high trust model. There's a lot of great docs out there. I think there's a talk that my manager Sean and I did at the SharePoint conference that talks about that. There's good data out there if you're in that mode. Okay. We've created our provider-hosted app here. You'll see, I'm going to zoom in again. Hopefully that's not making anybody dizzy. You'll see up here we have our SharePoint app. Like I said, it's got a manifest, and we give you a default icon. That's all that's in the SharePoint app. Everything else, and remember, this is just our default project, so there's not a lot in here. But everything else is down there in the web app, the MVC web app. And if you look, you can see we have a controller, for example. Just a default controller for home. There's one thing that's unique here, is remember all of that OAuth code, and I talked about that OAuth, I call it the OAuth dance, that you needed to do to get that secure communication channel. You don't actually have to write any code to do that. We've taken care of that for you. In the MVC project template, it's even slicker than the ASP.NET Forms project. We have this filter attribute that you add to your controller. And what that basically tells us is you need a context, and so that any code you go and write in here, that context is just going to be there for you. How do we do that? Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Again, Chox and his team of devs and tests did that, and it's great stuff. We do that by using this SharePoint context class. We give you the code here because the way we implemented it may not be exactly how you want to. This helps you persist that context across page invocations. So if you don't like the way we persisted it and you want to change it, the code's right there, go ahead. We've tested this. This works well for the way we gave it to you. We also use this other file, this token helper file. Again, you're not going to have to go dig through this, but the source is there if you need it or want it. This is how we talk to ACS and do all that OAuth dance. But it's all wired in for you. We've done all that plumbing for you. But just FYI, the code is there if you want to dig through it and see how we're doing it. Because you might want to optimize it, and you might want to cache that context in a different way. There's also a case where if someone saves a favorite to your app, and when they invoke you, they don't have a client context because they just saved it off of their IE favorites or their browser favorites. Our code actually handles that and recognizes that. And actually sends it over to SharePoint to re-authenticate and get a new context token, and we've taken care of all that for you. So it's pretty cool, I must say. All right, we're going to close this, and I'm going to look. Let's just look at a real app rather than build one from scratch. You've seen my typing skills. They're really drag and drop skills. I do have some coding skills, but not on stage. It would be a mess. But let's do this. Let's actually use, here's that new connected identity that we have in Visual Studio 2013. So I'm signed in with my VS demo account. Let's connect to the Team Foundation. So I have a hosted TFS up in the cloud. I'm using TFS up in the cloud. And we just connected to that. Let's go to the home page here and open this up from source control. Just to show you, VS 2013 is totally wired in, works great with TFS or visualstudio.com. And here's my project, and we'll go ahead and just open that up. This is, We're done with that. This is the, if anybody's done the, has anyone done the MVC Music Store sample where you kind of build it as you go? It's like a sample tutorial. Yeah, it's a pretty cool one. It's a really helpful one. Chalx, again, took that, our PM on our team, he took that and turned it into the SharePoint Music Store, MVC Music Store. He replaced all the usage tables, of SQL tables with SharePoint lists. So it's showing how you can take an MVC or any ASP.NET project and convert it and start using some of those SharePoint artifacts or services or data that you want to leverage. So if we take a look at this, here's the SharePoint piece of that. And you'll see that he has a little bit more than just the app icon and manifest, because he has those three lists. He created an albums, artists, and a genres list. That's what we would expect. So instead of a database table, he's going to store all that in the SharePoint list. Whereas the rest of his code is down here in the web project. Let's minimize that. And down here, you'll see that he has different controllers, just like you would expect for an MVC app that handles those three types of data. You'll also see that he has models for those and views. So just what you would expect. I think it's kind of interesting to look at the music store model here. Is that the one? Did I double-click that? Yes. You'll see that he's actually going out and making a call using the SharePoint server object model to go fill his model from that albums list. And then he puts that into a collection and uses that to apply his views to get his UI the way he wants. Just, I mean, standard MVC. So if you're a web developer, you know MVC or web forms, you're now a SharePoint developer. It's almost that easy. There's a little bit you need to learn about making calls through the SharePoint OM, but most of those calls are going to be to go get or update or delete items from lists and document libraries. There's some other cool services around, like I've said, profile and social that you'll want to use, and some other services, but you can grow into that. But you can really leverage your web skills, which is awesome. If you've done SharePoint development, you know that that has not always been true. What was I going to do? Well, I know what I'm going to do. Let's modify this real quick by adding an event receiver. So I want to go to the SharePoint project, actually, and I'm going to add an event receiver. And you'll see we have those right there. And what I want to do is every time an album is added, I would like, spell check, boom. Who is my spell checker guy out here? Right there. Every time an album is added, I want to fire an event, and I want to do something in my server-side code. So we have this nice event receiver wizard that helps you get started. List item events, that's what you're going to use most of the time. There are some other events, list events when a list is added or a field is added, but list item events when items are added or removed, that's where you're going to spend most of your time. You choose your event source. In this case, we're going to choose the albums. So whenever an item is added to the albums is what we want. So we'll scroll down here and we'll find item was added. This is going to wire up that event. You'll see that there's item is being added and item was added events. There's a lot of pairs like that. The adding event is a synchronous event, which you can actually cancel if you need to. Maybe do some validation, and if it's not valid, you can cancel it and the item's not added to the list. In this case, we're going to choose the added event, which is an async call. The item's already been added, but we can do some post-processing. Maybe run spell checker on it or something like that. See how I worked that into the demo? Okay, so here's our event. Let's test my coding skills again and delete this. Thank you for whoever's chuckling over there. And we need my toolbox back, and there's my remote event receiver code that I wrote. So I think you can see what it's doing here. It's basically looking to see if there's album art. So if I don't have album art, I'm going to call this service. I'm doing air quotes for those of you on the radio broadcast. I'm calling this service to actually go get the album art and fill it in. I couldn't find a service that said, hey, this is free, and you can do this in public demos, blah, blah, blah. So I played the stay out of jail card, and my service is a hard-coded value of this GIF. So we're going to use this dark placeholder GIF instead of the standard default is the light GIF. But this way we'll know that my event receiver is actually called. Let's set a breakpoint, and Before I hit F5, actually, I want to show you the magic. The magic is actually if you go out to your Windows Azure portal and go to Service Bus. I've created this Service Bus namespace. And if you're an MSDN subscriber, you have a bunch of tokens now every month. These are super cheap to use. So you'll use your MSDN Service Bus account here. You'll go down and you'll get the connection string. I'm not going to leave that up very long because you guys all look at it and then start spamming mics and it won't be free for me. So you go out and you control C, you get that connection string. And I'll change it here in the next few minutes before the video is created. And all you have to do is go here to the SharePoint project, down to the properties, go to the SharePoint tab. And this is really a one-time thing because we'll remember it from session to session, so you can reuse it. It doesn't have to be unique to that project. You can create one new if you want. But otherwise, we'll just use the same connection string over and over and over again. I'll just wipe that out so you guys don't get funny. So I just go, I put that in, and then I'm ready to just press F5. Got my breakpoint set. We're going to go uninstall the previous app. We're going to package up the new one, which has a remote event receiver now. And remember, that remote event receiver is going to be running on my touch screen here, where my SharePoint apps are running up in Office 365. So if the Service Bus fairies are with us, we'll actually get that remote event receiver to debug right here. This is the trust dialog. You haven't seen it before, but remember, we're using OAuth for that trust. Just like in Facebook, we need to prompt whoever installs that app needs to have those permissions and then agree, yeah, I'm going to give those apps, that app, those permissions. You'll only see that typically if you change the permissions or when you're using a cloud-hosted app, because we have to ask for a little extra more than just the default. So that's why it's the first time we've seen that, by the way. Here's our app running. We can click in here. We can see the data. I'm going to go through this pretty quick. It's nothing crazy special, but it's pulling data out of the list and filling up the screen through the MVC app. If I go here to manage and I create a new item, let's add one. Since we have rock AC/DC and we have a dark image, what better than Back in Black? So that's our new title. It's cheap. It's good old-fashioned rock and roll, so it's cheap. I'm not going to fill in the URL. I'm going to click Create. That's going to get added to the list. Oh, that's niceness right there. And our event receiver fired. We have our debugging, so all of our Service Bus thing just worked. When we F5'd, we started up the Service Bus and kind of enabled it and got it going locally, and we told SharePoint about it, and we have happy magic that worked through Service Bus. And now we can just step through this. We can see our album art was null. We're calling our service, getting the new album art. We're actually taking advantage of some properties that are passed in. That's not the thing I wanted. I wanted one of these. You were grabbing the list title and the list item ID. Those are passed into my event, so I know what item in what list was just added. And if we keep debugging, we'll set that new value. I'm just going to press F5, and hopefully our list is now updated with our dark image. If I go back to the home screen, bingo, we see a dark one over there on the right. So our event receiver did its job. You can imagine you can do a lot of stuff there. You can do post-processing on documents, mail them or print them or FedEx them or whatever you need to do. There's a lot of options you could do there. So that's cloud-hosted apps, whirlwind version. The line's going to be huge over there. I mean, even if you left right now, it's like you might as well sit here for like 5 more minutes, and then we'll give away that car. I want to show you, last thing I'm going to show you in the code, in the product here, is just our new publish dialog. This is most useful if you're building provider-hosted apps. Because with SharePoint-hosted apps and auto-hosted apps, everything gets published into one .app package, and you just go put that app package on the store or put it on the app catalog. But for provider-hosted apps, you need to go publish the web application or the web content. And so now our new publish, it's not a wizard anymore, it's kind of almost like a designer. It helps you. You can pull in your publish profile, and you can publish it directly from here out to whatever hosting facility you want. And then you can come down here and just package the app, and then you take that app and you push it up. So this is a much more helpful experience now in the preview, in the 2013 product. So give that a try. I think you'll see that's really helpful. And with that, I have just a couple closing slides, and then we're going to draw a card. So I don't know how you're going to draw that card. You're going to have to randomly. We're going to trust you. But closing things, I talked about the publish, so I won't go over that again. Summary, we support the new cloud app with Visual Studio 2013 preview. It works great against Office 365 directly and on-premise or on-premise. And we have the rich tooling support for all of the different app artifacts. So go install it today. Microsoft.com Visual Studio with a whack in there somewhere. And then, don't leave. Oh, that guy left. Late breaking announcement. We have this new thing that was actually just lit up today up on the Azure portal. I'm using developer desktop. That's not the official name. I don't know if it's been decided. But if you're doing app development against Office 365, our tools are great. There's no heavyweight install. But if you can't do that, and you need to do traditional, I'll call it SharePoint development, sandbox or farm solutions, or app development on-prem, this is a great solution. You can go up to your Azure development portal, and you can create a new virtual machine, and you'll see a new entry in there for Visual Studio, blah, blah, blah. Visual Studio 2013 Ultimate, something like that. And it's built on the Azure IaaS, infrastructure as a service. It'll have already pre-installed Visual Studio 2013 Ultimate preview. It'll have SharePoint installed. It'll have SQL Server installed. And then you can just go run. There's a configuration script that you just go launch. There's a couple different ones depending on what kind of development you want to do. If you want to do SharePoint with a domain controller or without, you just run one script. Everything's configured for you. And now you can do your dev test up in the cloud rather than have to pollute your box here. This is really cool. So for you MSDN, this is really for MSDN subscribers. You're going to want to go out and definitely take advantage of this. Again, it's great for leveraging for dev test and using that infrastructure as a service up in the cloud. It's going to be awesome. I would say, again, it's for more of the SharePoint traditional development around solutions, or if you have to do on-prem. That's where this is really going to shine for you. So that's kind of a late-breaking announcement. Just added those slides yesterday, actually. We want your feedback. Kelly's in the back. Kelly, where are you? Kelly's right there. If you would like to come talk to Kelly and or I and other folks, we would love to hear your feedback. Talk to Kelly on the way out. You can schedule a one-on-one time. We'd really love to hear your experiences around building SharePoint solutions, SharePoint apps, or just business apps in general. Why would you come do that? Well, other than Kelly and I's amazing good looks and just to talk to some fun people, your feedback, we really listen. We want to get your feedback and we want to take it. Paul's a witness. We really do listen. We want to make the product better. And if you guys can tell us face-to-face, that is the best feedback we can get. So talk to Kelly on the way out if you are interested. We'd love to have you for any amount of time you can spend with us. Here's some resources. I'm going to just flip to this, and then I'll leave it on the resources slide. Please fill out an evaluation. I try to make my sessions... I don't know, someone called them, I can't remember what the word, but a little fun, so it's a little entertainment, but hopefully educational also. So hopefully I talked to you about a few things that you didn't know about, and I set you on a path to go look up some more information. Let me know how I'm doing. If you don't want me to be so funny, I don't know, but let me know. I try to make it a good combination. Tell me how I'm doing. I'd like to know so I can make my talks better. And I'll leave with that. We are only 2.5 minutes over. Here's some resources of some other sessions, some that have already been, some that are coming up. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you spending your evening on the first day of Build. Have a great conference. Thanks, Paul. I'll be here. I can answer a few questions. Tomorrow I'm at the Visual Studio booth from 3 to 6, which is right next to the Apps for SharePoint booth, which Matt will be at, and others. So you can come ask us all kinds of hard questions. I'll answer the easy ones. Matt will get the hard ones. Oh, car. Oh, wait a minute. Car. Don't. If you give me a card. So pick a card. Pressure. Read it. Go ahead. Is there a name? Sergey. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Thank you, miss. Now you have two laptops and a car all in one day. Thanks, partner. Appreciate it.